A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. Just so your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord. At the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, Matthew tells us that Jesus left Nazareth and went down to live in Capernaum to fulfill what had been said through the prophet Isaiah. "A people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those who inhabit a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen." The Greek noun for light used here in reference to Jesus is the same Greek word used in today's gospel when Jesus, the teacher, says to those gathered around him on the mountainside, "You are the light of the world. Your light must shine before all, that they may see goodness in your acts and give praise to God." Light, in this context, connotes the bringing of freedom, deliverance, and hope. Another translation states that this light accompanies divine manifestations. There is no more urgent or critical time in history than now for us to hear and to receive Jesus' word. "Just as I am light to the world, so too are you. Go, therefore, and do as I do." Jesus' word seems so clear, so straightforward, and yet, don't we struggle to believe them? And if we say we believe them, don't we stumble trying to put our belief into action? Jesus insists that what we say we believe and our actions must be consistent. Belief is authenticated by behavior. "Your light must shine before all, that they may see goodness in your acts." Is it any wonder Jesus said again and again, "Whoever has ears to hear, hear"? You are the light of the world. Would our lives be any different if we truly and totally believed? Or is this truth simply too much for us to take in? The Trappist monk Thomas Merton shared this insight in his book, Conjectures of a Guilty Bystander. "At the center of our being is a point of nothingness which is untouched by sin and by illusion, a point of pure truth, a point or spark which belongs entirely to God, which is never at our disposal, from which God disposes of our lives, which is inaccessible to the fantasies of our own mind or the brutalities of our own will. This little point of nothingness and of absolute poverty is the pure glory of God in us." It is, so to speak, God's name written in us as our poverty, as our indigence, as our dependence, as our sonship, and I would add daughtership. It is in everybody. And if we could see it, we would see these billions of points of light coming together in the face and blaze of a sun that would make all the darkness and cruelty of life vanish completely. I have no program for this seeing. It is only given. But the gate of heaven is everywhere. There is no program for this seeing. It is only given. Sometime today, create a space in the busyness of your daily routine and daily realities and invite the Holy Spirit to awaken and make known in you your identity as divine light. Ask the Spirit, the divine light, to manifest through you the works Jesus came to fulfill.